Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. Okay, so in this lesson, we're going to start off by writing just a tiny bit of HTML5 and JavaScript code. Nothing fancy or complex at all. I just want to show you, first of all, where you can add JavaScript into your web pages. And then secondly, I want to kind of get into the workflow of writing a little code and then seeing what the result is inside of a web browser, inside of Internet Explorer. And then what we want to do is talk about what to do whenever the JavaScript examples that we're typing in and demonstrate in this series, for example, they simply don't work and you really don't know where to turn. There are actually some tools that are built into Internet Explorer that I want to demonstrate briefly that will help you find some clues so that you can kind of solve the problem on your own. Of course, if you ever get stuck, please feel free, as we mentioned in the previous video, to ask questions in the comments area below each video, and I'll answer them if I can. So once we finish this lesson, we're going to take a closer look at the examples that we write here, and I'll explain what's going on kind of behind the scenes. Now, the code is so simple that we're about to write that I'm willing to bet that you're going to be able to figure this out on your own before we even run the example, without any explanation from me whatsoever. But I still think that it's beneficial as we're getting started that we provide some background information to help get you on a solid foundation, and then we can move forward from there. So, our game plan in this lesson is, first of all, to set up a folder where we can save our work. We're going to set up some shortcuts in our development environment, so in our little Notepad and Internet Explorer development environment. Then we're going to create an HTML template, and we're going to make sure that it validates by using an HTML5 validator, and then we're going to start writing some JavaScript code. So here we go. Remember, pause the video, rewind it if you need to, but whatever you have to do, make sure that you follow along closely at first, because to get the most benefit out of this series or any series of videos, or even a book or what have you, you need to follow along and get your hands dirty and actually type in the code yourself. It's hands down the easiest way to learn. So as you can see, I am starting off with a relatively fresh installation of Windows 7. I also have Internet Explorer 9.0 installed. However, what I'm about to show you would work regardless of the operating system that you have currently installed. It'll work with just about any version from any web browser vendor. But still, if you want to follow along closely with me, then I highly, highly recommend that you have the most recent version of Internet Explorer installed. All right, so what we want to do is start by creating a space for to save all of our work. And we're going to just right-click on the desktop and select New Folder. And we're going to call that folder C9JS_Fundamentals. All right, Fundamentals. There we go. And the C9 is for channel 9, the JS is for JavaScript, and obviously the fundamentals is for fundamentals. And so my intent here is to save all my work here, and then once I'm finished, I'm going to allow you to download all the work, all the HTML, the JavaScript files, the cascading style sheet files, any images or any other resources that you'll need in order to follow along and complete these examples. So you can see where you can download that if you haven't been able to find it. I actually saved the link to the JavaScript Fundamentals series here in my web browser. And so here is the channel9.msdn.com/series/javascript-fundamentals-development-4-absolute-beginners. All right. And if you go to the very first video in this series, the series introduction, and you scroll down just a little bit, you can find download the entire series source code here. And I also caught my eye just as I was going there. You can also download it from this page as well. All right. So make sure you download that and have that handy so that if a code example doesn't work for you, you can take a look at the code that I've typed in and compare it to the code that you've typed in and then make the appropriate changes so that you see whatever I'm seeing here. All right. All right. So the next thing we want to do is configure Notepad. I'm going to go ahead and just in the search bar type in Notepad. And I've already taken the liberty of doing this, but I want to show you what I've done. I went to Format, Font, and I changed the font to Courier New Bold 18. And the reason I've done that is because in the past, some people, when watching the videos that I've created on Channel 9, they've had some issues when viewing the code that I'm typing in. It comes up really small or really garbled. And so by changing the font size, I'm hoping that I'm helping you see a little bit more clearly, even in that small display window, because I'm recording this in a high def format, but it's kind of compressed a little bit smaller onto the Channel 9 webpage format. So hopefully you'll be able to see when I type in the word, "This is a test." If you cannot see this, then it's possible that streaming on Channel 9 is simply not going to work for you for this series. You may want to download the videos locally. There should be some hyperlinks off to the left-hand side of this little viewing area, or I guess it's your right-hand side. It's made available for you in several high-def formats. Just download locally and then watch it from there. That's probably the best course of action. Okay, so the first thing we want to do is create a little HTML5 template so that we don't have to type in the same boilerplate HTML5 code every time we sit down to create a new JavaScript example. So let me just say this at the outset. Nothing I do here should confuse you. If you see some HTML markup that you don't recognize, or if you don't already have a firm grasp and understanding of HTML5, then I want to encourage you to watch the HTML5 and CSS fundamental series that I also created, also available for free here on Channel 9. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to start with an open angle bracket exclamation mark doc type HTML. All right, and then I'm going to create an opening and closing HTML tag, and then an opening and closing head tag, and then an opening and closing body tag. And then the next thing I want to do to make sure that this document will actually validate is add a title. And we'll just make a dummy title for now that will hopefully I'll remember to change every time that we use this template. So JavaScript example. And I don't have to do this for validation, but just to make sure that all of the examples kind of look the same, I'm going to add a H1 tag with the same dummy text that hopefully I'll remember to change for every single example. All right. So now this is the important part. We want to file, save as, and we want to change the save as type to all files. We also want to make sure that we are going to save into this C9JS_fundamentals folder. So if you're not already there, navigate to it on your desktop, all right, by using the little favorites icon or navigate through however you normally would. And make sure that you're saving into that target directory, making sure that the save as type is all files. We're going to type in template.html. And so if we forget this and we leave it as text documents, what will happen is that it will append .txt on the end of that file name, and it will not be able to open up in Internet Explorer. Instead, it'll just open it back up in Notepad, and that's not what we want. So we want to make sure that save as type is all files, and the file name is template.html, and I'm going to click save. And then let's open up our C9JS_fundamentals folder and make sure that we have our template there. You can see it recognizes it as an HTML document, which is perfect. And just to make sure this all works correctly, let's double click it and open it up in Internet Explorer. Seems to work just fine. Awesome. All right, so the next order of business then is to validate this HTML that we wrote. And there are a number of different validators out there that are available for HTML5. And the reason we're doing this is to make sure that if we've made any mistakes, we correct them here in our template so that we don't have to keep fixing that problem every time we use the template to create a new example. All right, fix it once. So the favorite my personal favorite HTML5 validator is HTML5.validator. You see, I've visited it a couple times already. HTML5.validator.nu. All right. In fact, I love it so much that I'm going to go ahead and add this as my homepage. So I'm going to go to Tools, Internet Options, and on the General tab, I'm going to use the Use Current button in order to create this homepage. Click OK. So now, if I open up Internet Explorer again, it'll open up to html5.validator.nu. In this case, I want to change the validator input to a text field, and I'm going to delete all this boilerplate HTML5. Instead, I'm going to open up my template and I'm going to hit Control A on my keyboard and Control C to copy onto the clipboard, and then Control V to paste it back into the validator. And I'm going to click Validate. Now, as you can see, I get a warning that the character encoding of this document was not declared. Ideally, you would add a meta tag, charset equals UTF-8, but it's not necessary. It's just a warning. Underneath that, I get the document is valid, HTML5, a little green box appearing underneath. Now, I just want to make sure that at this point, you're not seeing a pink box where I'm looking at this green box, all right, below this section here, okay? If you see a pink box, that means you have errors and you're gonna need to make some fixes. You should stop the video, rewind it, watch what I've done, or download, again, the code from the C9JS fundamentals folder that we talked about a little bit earlier. Make sure that you type in the template, the HTML5 precisely. And that's probably the first admonition that I have as we get started here. Software development and web development in particular is an exercise in preciseness. When we communicate in the English language, you know, we rely on the other person that we're communicating to kind of fill in the blanks if we leave out a detail or two, if we don't use correct speech, or perhaps when we're typing up an email, we may misspell something or we forget the punctuation, whatever the case might be. We rely on the other person to fill in the blanks and figure out what we're trying to say, right? But in software development, that is not the case. You have to be precise. And fortunately, there are tools that'll help you be precise. For example, this validator tool, we're gonna look at something that's built into Internet Explorer 9.0, the F12 developer tools, in just a little bit to help us be precise and get the results that we're expecting, okay? So at any rate, let's go ahead and move on. I'm gonna close this down, and I'm actually gonna close the template as well. And now we're gonna start over from scratch in Notepad. So I'm opened up Notepad, I'm gonna open up my C9JS fundamentals, and I'm gonna drag the template file into the open Notepad, which will copy the contents into a new Notepad window, and immediately we'll want to change the name because you can see we're actually working on the template.html page. So we want to save as, make sure save as type is set to all files, and that we're targeting the C9JS underscore fundamentals folder. And here I want to type in hello world in order to create our first JavaScript example. And so what we'll do is we're going to modify the template by adding an attribute, the onload attribute. And we'll talk about what that does in just a moment. But you can see I made a space after the body, typed in the word onload, all lowercase, used the equal sign, and then I'm using double quotes. You could use single quotes here, but by convention throughout the series, I'll use double quotes whenever assigning a property to the attributes that we defined inside of our HTML5. Inside of those double quotes, I'm going to type in the word alert, and immediately followed by an opening and closing parenthesis. In between the parentheses, I'm going to type in two single quotes. Inside of those single quotes, I'm going to type in the word hello, space, and then world, exclamation mark. All right, then I'm going to simply save my work. And now what I want to do is go back to our Windows Explorer and double click the hello world.html file. And you can see a couple of things happen here. First of all, we see this little error message at the bottom. Internet Explorer restricted this web page from running scripts or ActiveX controls. I can click allow block content, and when I do, we see a little alert box pop up with the word hello world, and I'm going to click the OK button. And we have now successfully created our first JavaScript program. So let's get back to that little message that we saw. I'm going to shut down Internet Explorer and then double click on hello world.html again and look at this little message. What's going on here is that Internet Explorer is trying to protect you, the user of this computer that you're currently working on, from potentially malicious scripts that are contained within the web page. So whenever you view a web page from your own local hard drive, it's automatically running with an elevated set of permissions or privileges. And therefore, the web page and the script that you write has available to it greater access to the resources on the computer than, say, a file that was downloaded from the internet, like a normal HTML page that you go to any website to view. And so Internet Explorer warns you and says that you should be aware of this. It says, this could potentially be harmful. Are you willing to execute this script because the person who created it could be trying to do something malicious, delete files, rename files, load files on your computer? So in our case, we know what we're doing here, right? We're not going to try and delete files or overwrite files on our hard drive, right? So in our case, I want to temporarily turn this setting off. Now, if you're comfortable with turning this message off for this entire video series, then awesome. If you're not, that's fine too. You'll just need to click that Allow Block Content button every single time that you want to test your JavaScript code. Now, in my case, that gets a little bit annoying, so I'm going to change this on my computer. Feel free to follow along if you want to. I'm going to go back to the Tools menu, click Internet Options. I'm going to go to the Advanced tab at the very right-hand side. I'm going to use the scroll bar here to bounce all the way to the bottom and then bounce up just a tiny bit up to the Security section here in our settings. In Internet Explorer 9.0, you'll see that Allow Active Content to Run in Files on My Computer is the second option. I'm going to go ahead and check that. And if you're using a different version of Internet Explorer, it's possible that you might need to look for the same entry in a slightly different position. Furthermore, if you're using a different web browser vendor, then you have to take different steps. Or heck, you may not even see a warning message at all. Just keep that in mind. Be aware of the fact that Internet Explorer has this extra step of security integrated into it. All right, now I'm going to click OK. I'm going to close the web browser down and try this one more time. Hello World, double clicking. And we can see automatically the alert box is there with Hello World. We don't get the warning. We're in good shape. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and click OK and shut this down. So take note that this is the very first way that you've learned how to add JavaScript onto a web page by embedding it directly in line using an attribute of a given HTML tag, in this case the body tag. Now eventually we're going to talk about all the techniques that you can use to add JavaScript into your web pages, but let's try a second example that's a bit more practical. And so I'm going to go through the same exercise of opening up a fresh version of Notepad and then dragging our template and dropping it into the open area here. I'm going to save this as, changing the save as type to all files and making sure the target folder is c9js_fundamentals. And this time we're going to call this c9js_02.html. And so that convention is just C9JS, like we talked about earlier, channel line JavaScript underscore. And since this is the second lesson in this series, I'm using that 02 to denote which file this, which video this file is associated with, the second video in this lesson, in this series. All right, so it should show up here, and it does. Great. And so now what we want to do is, first of all, we're going to add some more HTML to our body section. I'm going to add an input type equals text, ID equals my uppercase T for text, uppercase B for box. And then below that, I'm going to type in input type equals submit, value equals click me. And then I'm going to add an onClick equals, and then empty double quotes for now. We'll come back to that in just a little bit. All right, so now previously we added inline JavaScript into the attribute of our body. This time what we want to do is go into the head section. I'm going to go right underneath the title. And I'm going to add a script tag and a closing script tag. And we'll add our JavaScript here for this example. All right, and to satisfy HTML5, what we're going to need to do is also add an attribute called type equals. And inside of the double quotes, I'm going to type in the type of data or information that the web browser should expect to see inside of the script tag. In this case, it'll be text /, JavaScript, all lowercase, no spaces between the two. All right, and so it should expect to parse out anything that we type inside here as JavaScript. All right. And we'll talk about these concepts a little bit later in the next video. So I'm going to type my first JavaScript. I'm going to create a function. And again, we'll talk about what functions are later on. It's not really necessary that you understand what it is just now. Just make sure you follow along. So I've made some indentation here for myself. I'm going to type in function space, and I'm going to give this function a name. We're going to give it the name of substitute. And then followed immediately by an open close parentheses. And then I'm going to make a space and then add an opening curly brace and then go down a couple of levels and then a closing curly brace. And in between here, we're going to write the body of our JavaScript function called substitute. Now, you can see here that I'm paying attention to indentation levels. For example, this curly brace is going to line up with the F, and this is more for my readability than it is for Internet Explorer as it parses through and tries to execute this. I just want to be able to read this cleanly, and so I am paying close attention to indentation levels as I'm typing my JavaScript in. All right, and I would encourage you to follow the same practice here at first. All right, so then the next thing I want to do is start to create the body of our substitute function. Again, we'll talk about what functions are and all that good stuff a little bit later. Just follow along. I'm going to create a variable called myValue. We'll talk about what variables are later. So var space myValue, capital V in value, equals, and then I'm going to try to get the value of whatever the user typed into the text box. So I got to type in this long incantation. We're going to call the documents get element by ID method or function, open and closing curly parentheses, dot value. All right. And inside of this get element by ID function, we need to tell it which element we want to get. And we're going to use the ID because we're using get element by ID. So which ID do we want to read or find the value of? My text box. So I'm going to hit Control C on my keyboard to copy this. I'm going to use two single quotes inside of the get element by ID, and I'm going to paste my text box in between there. So now your code should look like that. Okay? Now the next thing I want to do as I indent my way into the function's body is check to make sure that somebody actually typed something into the text box. So I'm going to type if my value dot length is equal to 0, not the O or the capital O on the keyboard, but the number 0. All right, then, so make sure you have an opening and closing parentheses. Make sure you're using two equal sign. That's important. And this length, we'll talk about what it does later, but essentially how many characters are inside of this value that we retrieved from my text box. We're going to add an opening curly brace, go down a couple of lines, indent my way over, and use a close curly brace and make sure that it lines up with the I and if, again, for my own readability. And then I'm going to indent in about two more spaces and type in the word alert. We've already seen the alert in action before, right? When we created an alert to show the message hello world. In this case, we're going to give a warning to our user. And we're going to ask them, please enter a real value in the text box. All right, so we want to make sure they type something in. And then we don't want any more code to execute, so we're going to type in the word return. So just leave this function. All right, so let's just leave it at that for now. And let's save this. And what I ultimately want to do is I want to replace the value inside of this H1 tag with whatever the user types into the text box. So what we're going to do is add an ID here to this H1. So I'm going to add an ID attribute equals double quotes, and we're going to give it the value of title so that I can programmatically access this H1's content. All right, and there are a number of different ways to do this. I'm going to take the cheap and easy way out, even though some would probably might point out the fact that inner HTML is not part of any standard prior to HTML5. I'm going to take my chances and go with this anyway, even though because it's implement it in basically every web browser. If that didn't make any sense to you, don't worry about it. Okay. So var my title, creating a new variable called my title. We're going to save into that the value of document dot get element by ID title. All right. Now, in this case, I'm not grabbing the value out. All I really want to do is get a programmatic reference to this H1 with the ID of title so that I can change it my title.inner HTML. Again, this is the controversial point, but let's just go with it for now. My value. So we're going to take whatever the value is that the user typed in to the text box, and we're going to substitute that value for whatever value's in the H1. Okay, so let's save this, and now let's see it in action. And we're going to see that it doesn't really work here. All right. So first of all, let's go ahead and click the Click Me button without typing anything in, and nothing happens. And that's our first sign that something's wrong. Let's go ahead and type in some letters here and click the Click Me button, and still nothing happens. Well, what's the problem? Problem is that we have this function, this code that we wrote, but we never really wired it up or hooked it up to our HTML. And that's where this onClick event comes into play. What we want to do is call substitute, open and closing parentheses. So now let's save this, go back to our Windows Explorer and double click. And now let's click the Click Me button without typing anything in, and we get our little alert box. Please enter a real value in the text box. All right, that gives us a little encouragement that this might actually work. I'm going to type in hello world again, and then click the Click Me button. And notice that the title has changed to hello world again, exactly what we typed in here. All right. Okay, so let's take a short time out here and let's talk about the possibility that something you did caused this application to not work correctly. Perhaps, for example, you misspelled something. For example, let's just say you misspelled the word substitute here as we're trying to call the substitute function from the onClick method, but we use the wrong name and we omit the E on the end of the word substitute. All right, let's save this and see what happens, and nothing happens at all, just as if we hadn't typed anything in. Now, depending on the browser vendor, the browser version, the settings in your browser, you might see a message. In our case, you see no message at all. There's no clue as to what you did incorrectly. So what are you supposed to do then? Well, in this situation, fortunately, Internet Explorer has some built-in tools that can help you get past problems like these. So let's go ahead and go to the Tools menu and click the F12 Developer Tools menu option. You can also get to this by using the F12, the function key on your keyboard. And you can see it opens up this little window in the very bottom of your web page. Now, depending on how you, whether you've used this feature before, you might see it unpinned in a separate window. That can sometimes be helpful as well. I'm going to go ahead and repin this back by clicking the little button underneath the red X, and it now is back and docked into our web page nicely. All right. And I want to go to the script tag, and you can see there's two panes now that we can see with a toolbar. On the left-hand side is the script that we wrote, and on the right-hand side we see a little message, the console window, and it says refresh the page to see messages that may have occurred before the F12 tools were open. Fair enough. So let's go ahead and refresh our page. And now I'm going to click the Click Me button. And notice that the console window gives me some information, a clue as to what went wrong here. It says substitute is undefined. And you're like, what does that mean? But fortunately, it gives us some additional clues. Like, for example, it's has something to do with line number 22. So I'm going to look in the left-hand pane here. I'm going to look at the line numbers here on the left-hand side of my code, looking for line number 22, and it has something to do with character number 1. Well, character number 1 is just an empty space. Well, what this really means, since we're working in the script tab, is the first character of the JavaScript that it encounters on this line. So that would be has something to do with this S in substitute, and we can see here that perhaps we didn't spell something correctly. So we can't really fix it here. The best that we can hope to do is go back to our source code, add the E back in, save the change that we made, open up Internet Explorer again and refresh the page, and try it one more time. And now we get no errors. We notice that the page works correctly, and we're good in good shape. All right. So tell you what, let's stop right there. We're going to talk about each line of code in a little bit more depth and give some background information about all this code we wrote and what's really happening behind the scenes, beginning in the next video. And then after that, we're going to rewrite this entire example using a real web development tool, Visual Web Developer Express Edition, and you're going to see the benefits over using just Notepad. So we've got several things that we want to do here in the near future that will build on the concepts that I introduced in this lesson. Hopefully this piques your interest. Keep pushing forward. If it didn't work correctly for you the first time, don't sweat it. You can download the code that I wrote and compare what you wrote versus the code that I wrote. Rewind, pause the video, make sure you typed in everything correctly. And if you get stuck at this point, make sure that you ask questions in the comments below and I'll try to answer them for you. But if you just stay tuned and you watch the next lessons, I think that many of the questions you may have at this point will be answered for you. Okay? So we'll see you in the next lesson. Thank you. Thank you.